So we were talking about yesterday, machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about whether or not the tzitz has the ability to be merata, even when it's not on the head of the Kohen Gadol, or do we say only when he's wearing it? That was machlokas yesterday, and they had a machlokas how to learn the psukim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the pasuk says, tamid l'ratzon lefnei Hashem, which meant the tzitz is always merata, bein al mitzcho, bein shalom mitzcho. That was Rabbi Shimon's understanding. Yehuda felt that since the pasuk says al meitzach, it only works when it's al meitzach, but when it's not al meitzach, it actually doesn't work. So do we focus on the words al meitzach, or do we focus on the words tamid? So now the Gemara is going to go back and forth, and what is the other one? What does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Shimon's pasuk, and what does Rabbi Shimon do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? So if we take a look in Daf Ches now, we got four lines down with Rabbi Shimon. With Rabbi Shimon, the Amar tamid merata, that he held that the tzitz is always merata, bein al mitzcho, based on the word tamid. The Haksiv al mitzchav, doesn't the pasuk focus on the fact that it's al mitzchav v'nasa, that only when it's on the meitach is it nasa avono, but not when it's not on the meitach? So the Gemara explains how hu l'kvola makum hudasa. The emphasis of the word mitzchav is telling us where the tzitz is worn. It's worn across the forehead, but not to teach us how it's effective. It's effective whether he wears it or whether he doesn't wear it. But when he does wear it, it must go on the mitzchav. Rabbi Yehuda l'kvola makum minale. How did Rabbi Yehuda know where the tzitz is worn? So Nafgale, he learned me al mitzcho. The pasuk says al mitzcho. It could have said just mitzcho. What's al mitzcho? To tell us it's placed on the mitzcho. That's how he learns the location of the tzitz. So Rabbi Shimon nami typically al mitzcho. So that let Rabbi Shimon also learn from the word al mitzcho where the tzitz is worn, and not having to learn from the word mitzcho v'nasa. So Gemara says einach nami. You're right. Both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda learn from the words al mitzcho. That's where the tzitz is worn. Ela al mitzchav v'nasa my avilei. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the words mitzchav v'nasa? Can he hold tamid l'ratzon? No, he's going to be meratze. So what does he do with the word mitzchav v'nasa? It sounds like only when he wears it is it v'nasa avona. So amal l'charoi l'meitach meratze, she'en aroi l'meitach enu meratze. When is it tzitz meratze? Only when it's fit to be worn. But if it's not fit to be worn, it doesn't work. Lafuke nishbar hatzitz dilo meratze. If the tzitz is broken, so then it doesn't work. But if the tzitz isn't broken, even though he's not wearing it, it will still be meratza, according to Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara says, what about the Rabbi Yehuda? Nishbar tzitz minale. How does he know a broken tzitz doesn't work, even though he's not, if he's not wearing it? So nafkale mi meitach mitzcho. The pasuk says meitach mitzcho. It says mitzcho, rather. It could have said meitach. What's mitzcho? The ek shavav, to make a drasha. If it's broken, it doesn't work. Rabbi Shimon, metach mitzcho lamashvile. He doesn't make a drasha of the extra letter vav, and therefore that's how we have each of these positions. So Gemara now says, Neima hani tanai kahani tanai. Let's say this machlokas is really like a machlokas elsewhere. What machlokas? Machlokas about whether tuma hutra b'tzibur or tuma duchui b'tzibur. That was our discussion the past couple of days. So Gemara is suggesting, let's say this is the machlokas here with regards to hazah. What does that mean? So the Gemara quotes a braisa, the Tanya. It appears a few places in Shas, the Tanya. Which is referring to Yom HaKippur min Para, these two cases of the Shives Yimei Prisha, Mazin Alav Kol Shiva, you have to sprinkle on the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol, respectively, all 7 days of preparation, Mikol HaTos, from all the Mechatas of Paraduma, Shal Yusham Divrei Rebbe Meir. So again, for 7 days, every day, he gets sprinkled with Mechatas. Days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's according to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Ein Mazin Alav El Shlishi Ushvi Bavad, only in day 7. The way it works is, let's say a person knows for sure he became Tamei Tumas Meis. So then the din is, the way you are Tower, you only have to sprinkle the waters on him on day 3 and day 7 from when he became Tamei. But let's say you don't know when he became Tamei. So then, so that's the case here. So what does that mean? So the Tanakhama holds every single day you sprinkle, and according to your Biosi, you only do day 3 and day 7. So then we'll explain all this in just a second. And then comes along a third shita, Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Kohen Asar, if it's a para, Mazin Alav Kol Shiva. Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, Ein Mazin Alav El Shlishi Vishvi. So Rabbi Hanina, he splits. When it comes to the preparing of the Kohen for the Paraduma, you sprinkle water on all day, all 7 days. With respect to Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, you only do day 3 and day 7. So what's going on here? So the Gemara is going to explain it. Rashi will enlighten us here. My love, b'hokem mithilgi, is the machlokas not as follows, at least according to the first two opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Meir savar tuma d'chuya hi b'tzibur, and Rabbi Yossi savar tuma hutter, or heter, b'tzibur. So look at Rashi to explain what's going on. Look at Rashi, two lines down from the top. The Rabbi Meir savar d'chuya hi b'tzibur, that really tumah is pushed off, but the tumah is really there; it's present. Uba'in and tara mal yasa. So we need to really purify the real tumah that exists, because only dechuya, but the tumah is still there. Vaza bismana, you have to do azah in the right time to really have the tumah to be effective. It has to be in the right time, on day 3 and day 7. V'chol yoma. Now we don't get it. The Kohen Gadol is separated for 7 days. We don't know if and when he became Tameh. We have no idea. It's a suffix. So he could have been Tameh, let's say, on Sunday, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday. We don't know which day. So we have to assume every day is possibly the third day, and 4 days later is the seventh day from when he became Tameh. So let's say, for example, the Sunday is the first day of his separation. So it's possible he was Tameh 3 days earlier than that. So we have to sprinkle on day seven, on Sunday, and notice the 4 days later, which would be Thursday. Now, Monday, we also, maybe he was Tameh Mace 3 days before that, so we have to sprinkle on days Monday and days Friday. So every single day of the 7 days, it's possible it's the third day and then the seventh day from when he became Tameh, because we don't know when he became Tameh. If we knew for sure when he became Tameh, then it's only day 3 and day 7. But since it's all a suffix, says Rashi, V'chol yoma ika l'sfuke, shema hayom yom shlishi, l'tumaso, the Shlosha Rishon, maybe this is the third day from when he became Tameh. U'b'shlosha Acharonim, and the 3 last days of the 7 day period, Ko Yoma V'Yoma Ika L'Suke Misveka Shushri. Maybe it's the 7th day from when he became Tameh. Now, day 4, by the way, right, the way it works is day 3 and day 7 are 4 days apart. So let's say in the 7 day period, day 1 could possibly be day 3, and day 5. 1 and 5 go together. Days 2 and 6 go together, and days 3 and day 7 go together. Day 4 we'll get to in the Gemara Amar Beis. Day 4 doesn't fit in. Because it can't be day 3 from when he was separated, because he hadn't been in touch with Tumah 3. He's been already separated for 4 days. And it can't be day 7 because already, there was no day 3 before that. But 1, 2, 3 go 5, 6, and 7. Day 4 is kind of independent. We'll get to that Amar Beis. But either way, every day it's possible it's day 3 and day 7. That's why we need to sprinkle all 7 days, because again, Tumah is Dechuya. Tumah is still there, and we have to try to get rid of it as best as possible. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. But according to Rabbi Yossi, look at the Rashi. Now Rabbi Yossi explains, Rabbi Yossi Savar Heter Hibetzibur, Hucher Hibetzibur, Delo Machmir Be, El Malab Alma, the Afinim Milum. The truth is, you don't have to do anything. Because since we're dealing with the Tumah Betzibur, and when Tumah Betzibur is entirely Hucherah, you don't have to do any type of mechatas. You don't have to do any huzzah at all. And the only reason why you do this is just as a malab alma. And once it's just a malab alma, just an extra level of kedusha and tara, which is unnecessary, day 3 and day 7 is sufficient. We don't have to really cover our bases, because in reality, tuma hucha betziba. So that's the suggestion of the Gemara here, how to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'tizbura, does this really make sense? Isava Rabbi Yossi heter hi betzibur. If Rabbi Yossi really holds to heter in the tzibur, to hucha betzibur, huzzah klal lamali. What's the need for any type of huzzah? So therefore, the Gemara says it can't be the case. Ella, duchuli alma, honey tanai, savri tuma, duchuli hibitzibur. The truth is, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir hold duchuli betzibur. Because if you were to hold hucha betzibur, you don't need any huzzah. So the fact that you need some huzzah, the starting point is duchuli betzibur. So what's the machlokas, whether you need all days of the 7 days or only day 3 and day 7? So this is the machlokas, the Gemara explains. V'hacha, v'hacha miflagi, they're arguing about the following. Rabbi Meir Savar, Amrinan tefillah, bizmana mitzvah. It's ideal to have a tefillah. Now tefillah is something like going to the mikvah. We're going to connect it to hazah in just a second. But tefillah, going to the mikvah is ideal. You have to go in the right time, bizmana, you have to go, you shouldn't wait. So for example, if a boy or girl, a man or woman, become Tameh, and then they're going through the Tara process, so they should go on the first time, the first opportunity they can go to the mikvah, they shouldn't push it off anymore. So the tefillah bezman is a mitzvah, don't delay it anymore. Rabbi Yossi Savar, lo aminan tefillah bezman a mitzvah. We don't hold that way. A person wants to, let's say, become Tahor 3 months later, he's allowed to. Even though he could be Tameh 7 days later, rather Tahor 7 days later, there's no inyan to do the tefillah bezmanah. So just like there's a machlok is by going to the mikvah in the right time, whether that's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, by extension, the same is true of bahazah, of going through the process of paraduma, does that need to be on the right time or not the right time? So again, Rabbi Meir holds, it should be in the right time, but we don't know when the right time is. So therefore, we have to do every single day of the 7 days in case you're getting the right time. But according to Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't care about the tefillah bezmana mitzvah, just become tahor. So do day 3 and day 7, even though those were not the right times, even though, let's say, really day 1 and day 5 should have really been, let's say, the tefillah bezmana, he doesn't care about getting the right zman. Just get it done, get tahor, and whenever that happens. So that's the machlokas now, whether or not tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. So again, by the way, it's a mitzvah to become tahor. That's the mitzvah. The Rambam counts it. The question is whether getting tahor in the right zman is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. But certainly becoming tahor is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, is that really true? So v'savar Rabbi Yosi lo amrinan tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. So according to this, Rabbi Yosi says where you only have to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7, what comes out is you don't have. There's no inyan of doing tefillah b'zman. It's not a mitzvah. So now we're going to prove from another brisa that Rabbi Yosi holds that tefillah b'zmana in fact is a mitzvah. V'hatanya, the brisa says, "Hare shaya shem kasev al b'saro." Let's say shem Hashem yudke vavke or another name of Hashem that can't be erased is written on a person's skin, not tattooed. It's inked in somehow in pen that comes off. Hare ze lo yirchatz. A person can't bathe. Lo yasach, he can't rub oil on. Lo yamod b'makum hatnufos, he can't stand in an area that's dirty, a bathroom, in front of a garbage, because he has Shem Hashem on his skin. Nizdamne lo tefillah shel mitzvah. But let's say he has a tefillah of a mitzvah. I don't know. He was a zav, and now he's tahor. He's a balkari. He's tahor now. He needs to go to the mikvah. So what should he do? Korech alav gmi v'tavla. He has to cover it up so it doesn't get erased, and then he goes into the mikvah. So then, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says lo yirchatz. So you don't erase the name. There's an issur deraisa to erase, destroy Hashem's name. So now, if he has a tefillah shemitzvah, look at the next Rashi. Korech alav gemi, should cover up something. Lahagin alav chozek shatamayim, to protect it from the water washing it off. You can't erase the shem Hashem that's on the skin. But Rabbi Yosi Omer yored vitovel kedarko. A person could go in the normal fashion into the mikveh, even though he has yud kei vav kei on his skin, as long as he doesn't scrub it off, but naturally, or I guess more indirectly, it could just wipe off from the water. The kaimelon, so what's the machlokas? The betfilah b'zman mitzvah kamitzvagi. They're arguing about whether going to the mikveh on the right time is a mitzvah. So Tanakama Savar, Lar Minan, Tfilah b'zman mitzvah. To go into the mikveh right away is not it's not a mitzvah. In other words, wait for it to rub off on its own. But to go right now, you want to go right now? That's not so urgent. So if you want to go right now, you should cover up and avoid it from being erased. But Rabbi Yosi Savar Amrinan Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah, it's a mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah of going to the mikvah is Docha, the fact that the name Hashem is getting erased. So that's why he allows you to go to the mikvah without having to cover it. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'kayim alon, V'secha Shabbos Dav Kufchav, Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah Pligi, Rabbi Yosi Savar Mitzvah, since it's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah in the right time, Hilkach Dilma Lo Mishkach Gemi v'yisha tulaso liomachem. What's going to happen is if you're going to require him to cover it up, he might not find that to cover up, and he might just miss the mitzvah and go in a week when he has an opportunity to find it. We don't want him to delay, so since it's urgent to do it in the right time, we could go right now even without the gemi. Ah, it's going to cause it to erase. Okay, it's going to be erased, but it's going to be in an indirect way. And therefore we see from this that Rabbi Yosi does hold tefillah bizmana mitzvah. So Gemara says you're right. Everybody holds that tefillah is machlokes, but at least these opinions here, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Meir, they both hold tefillah is a mitzvah. Going to the mikvah in the right time is in fact the mitzvah. So what's the machlokes back to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Meir, whether you sprinkle every day of the 7 or only days 3 and day 7? So that the Gemara says as follows. V'hacha pak mifugi, Rabbi Meir savar makshinen hazala tefillah. Rabbi Yosi Savar lo makshin hazal tefillah. The whole machlokas is about tefillah. Do we extend that same din of tefillah b'zman mitzvah to hazah, to sprinkling the mechatas as well? So according to Rabbi Meir, you do. You have to have the hazah b'zman as well. So to cover your bases, every single day of the 7 days, you need to do hazah. Rabbi Yosi says, no, only by tefillah b'zman is there mitzvah. But to extend that to hazah b'zman mitzvah, that he doesn't hold, and therefore he was satisfied simply with days 3 and day 7. So then the Gemara says, okay, so that all makes sense. We understand Rabbi Yosi, we understand Rabbi Meir. But let's understand now the Shita of Rabbi Chanina Beskana Kohanim. He said that no, by the Paraduma, you need all 7 days. But with regards to Kohen Gadol, you only need day 3 and day 7. Why the split? Either they should both be all 7 days, or both should be only day 3 and day 7. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Beskana Kohanim, who is the third Shita in the Brayis above, Imakish hazal tefillah. If he makes the connection, afila koyin biyom kippur nami. Even the Yom Kippur Kohen Gadol should require a hazal every single day to have the hazal lizmana mitzvah. And ilo makish hazal tefillah. If he doesn't make the hekesh, that means there's no concept of hazal bizmana. So then afila koyin surface a par nami lo. So then the one who's preparing for the paraduma should not require hazal every day of the 7. Only days in 3 and day 7. There should be consistency. So the Gemara says, Liolam lo makish, really doesn't make the hekesh. And in reality, the Hazad does not need to be Bizman. Day 3 and day 7 is sufficient. So why does he require all 7 days with Paraduma? The Kohen Nasarif is a para, Ma'ala Ba'amos. A special Ma'ala. Why is it a special Ma'ala? Because we already discussed in Daf Bezam Aleph, where they, in order to Lehotzi Miliban Shel Tzedukim, we said that we were Metameya Kohen on purpose. As a Tivul Yom, he did the Paraduma. We have to counterbalance this by saying we had other Chumras, so people shouldn't take this stuff so lightly. So one of the Chumras we had is we sprinkle the Kohen Nasarif is a para every single day of the 7 days. So a lot of different things to discuss here. There's a Tosas Dir Maschal D'Chuli Alma. I'm not going to read through the Tosas, but he quotes a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Chananel, how we paskin whether we say Tefillah Bezman Ela Mitzvah or Tat Mitzvah. That's Halacha Maisa, how one paskin is relevant if a woman needs to go to the mikvah. Do we say she should go right away or she's allowed to delay if she wants to? So part of that conversation is how we paskin whether Tefillah Bezman is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. Another thing that comes up here as well, the Minchas Chinuch has an interesting suffix. He's not sure whether or not if a person writes, let's say, you write Shem Hashem on the cloth that's puzzle, whether or not you could erase that shame or not. Let's say you have cloth that's puzzle. You use, I don't know, pigskin. And you write Shem Hashem on that. Is that a violation of erasing that name of Hashem? It's a strange question. I don't know why it wouldn't be. But either way, he adds just something. He proves from this Gemara that because writing on human skin certainly is puzzle as cloth, and the Shem Hashem is listed here. It's one of the examples. You can't erase it. So it proves from the Gemara that even though Shem Hashem is written on cloth that's puzzle, it is a violation to erase it. Now, I don't understand the other tzad at all, but it's a suffix that the Minchas Chinuch does raise. But halacha maisa, what comes out from the sugya is as follows. When it comes to an audio, a tape, someone says Shem Hashem on an audio. Is there a violation to delete that audio? Is that called deleting Shem Hashem? Is that a problem or not? So the Yehuda thinks it's allowed. It's because b'makom mitzvah, if there's a need for it, there's some type of mitzvah, one would be allowed to. Sorry. He says if it's indirect, rather, you're allowed to erase such a thing because the Gemara here as well, when Rabbi Yossi says you could go to the mikvah and indirectly the Shem Hashem is going to wipe off, it's allowed. But he says that's only true in the makom of a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah, you could indirectly erase Shem Hashem. But if there's no mitzvah, so you're not allowed to indirectly erase Hashem's name. So and he doesn't talk about a tape. But the Rav Vazir says that if you delete a tape, that's somehow indirectly deleting Shem Hashem. And they felt that, so at the end of the day, it's very strange. There's no Shem Hashem. It's not listed. It's not written anywhere. So for some reason, Rav Moshe, Rav Vazir, all of them write, a person should not delete the tape. Even though it's not really a problem, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. You should have either katan or a goy delete it for you, but you yourself shouldn't delete it. But at the same time, it doesn't require geniza. You can throw it out if you want. That's like, take it, throw the tape out, throw the CD out. But to like press delete with Shem Hashem on it, they felt that was just inappropriate, even though that's not really an isser. But they use this Gemara really as a springboard to discuss this topic.
Isn't there a difference between Paraduma and Yom Kippur? One is Bizman and one is...
The Gemara is going to address that point. Yeah, very good. I'm amazed. The Gemara is going to address that point. So now the Gemara says, I think, if this is your question, if I understand it. So the Gemara says, last two lines of the Amud here, Kiman Azla HaTanur Rabbanan, who is the author of the following Braisa? Ein Ben Kohen HaSarif is a Parah LeKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. There's no difference between the Kohen who prepares for burning the Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol who prepares for Yom HaKippurim. Ella, except for this one difference on Amud Beis, Shezeh Prishasa LeKedusha, that this one separated for Kedusha, we'll look at Rashi to explain in just a moment. V'Achiv HaKohanim Noginba, and the Kohanim could touch him. It's not because of Tumah. It's because of Kedusha. Yom Kippur is not because of Tumah. Yom Kippur is to create Kedusha, to sanctify him, to give a certain frame of mind, but not because of Tumah, and therefore Kohanim could touch him because it's not an issue of Tumah, per se. V'zeh, this one, by Paraduma, Prishasa L'Tara. That's to separate for Tara purposes. V'ein Achiv HaKohanim Noginbo. So the brothers, Kohanim can't touch him because it's about Tumah V'Tara. So who holds this way? Bo, Kiman, O Rabbi Meir, or Rabbi Yossi, either one, because they don't make a distinction between how many days they sprinkle, right? Rabbi Yossi holds both cases, you sprinkle only day 3 and day 7. Rabbi Meir holds both cases, you sprinkle all 7 days. So the fact that that's not a distinction, day 3 and 7 of Kohen Gadol, by day 7, all 7 days of Paraduma, that must not be, all we could say, it can't be Rabbi Chanina Beskana Kohanim, because he makes that another chilat. Because the Gemara says again, come on, O Rabbi Meir, O Rabbi Yossi, because the Rabbi Hanina Eskana Kohanim, Ha'ikanamiha, there would have been another distinction that by the Paraduma you sprinkle all 7 days, and by the Kohen Gadol you only sprinkle days 3 and day 7. So this Braisa is like either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi. Look at Rashi to just elaborate on Prishasa L'Kedusha versus Prishasa L'Tara. Says Rashi in the very top here, this Shezet Prishasa L'Kedusha by the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, Likanesh L'Mach Neshchina, he's going into the presence of the Shechina, V'lo Yeh Libo Zachalav, he doesn't want to be, you know, proud that he's going to the holiest place in the world, Nivdel mikol kalas rosh, and he has to be separate from all types of kalas rosh. Shechal alav ema, there should be a certain level of fear. Pavdelosam in abrios. When a person is separated, he's somehow in his podas, he's all by himself, all alone, it's going to instill fear, that loneliness. So you want the Kohen Gadol to have that fear of trembling before he enters into the Kosher Lashem. So that's why we do it, it's the Kedusha purposes. But Zeh Prishas Latara becomes to the Kohen Hasorif Hasapara, Lahachmir B'Tara. So we want to be extra stringent on the dinim of Tumah V'Tara, and Mipnei Kal She'osin Bo L'Tamei Bo Yom, that we discussed just before, that we're Matamid the Kohen Hasorif Hasapara purposely, La'otzi Miliban Shatzadukim, that we allow him to work as a Tivol Yom, therefore we have to, again, balance this, L'chach Hichmiru B'Taraso, Shelo Yeh Adam No Gebo, so nobody should touch him. So these are the differences, but that's the only difference. Kedusha versus Tara, but not a difference of how many days we sprinkle the paraduma. So look at now Tosa. Tosa asks a couple of questions. He says, Temali, Akati Ika Nami Shezeh Paresh Lishchas Parhejin, Vizeh Paresh Lishchas Shalpanesh Abir. This is another difference. Which Lishcha are they going to? The Kohen Gadol goes to Lishchas Parhejin, which is in the base of Mikdash, and the Sarif HaSapara, that Kohen goes to Lishchas, which is Al Pnei Abira. So that's another difference. Why wasn't that mentioned? That everybody agrees to. That's an Afkamina. So Tosas gives two answers. He says, V'yesh Lomar, D'lo kachashiv ela milsa dechashivu. So we're only acknowledging things that are of significance. She'yesh ma'ala bezeh mi bezeh. There's a certain added value. Of amash zeh parish l'lishchazu. V'zeh parish l'lishchazu. The fact that there are two different chambers. There's no real added chiddush. There's no added element. It happens to be two different houses, two different addresses. But that's not a significant point. And that's why that wasn't addressed. But then he says, Tosas gives another answer. There's a little bit more involved. Those learning Maseches Tamar in the morning will appreciate this. That's, I guess, David and I appreciate this line. Inam yesh nearly. Another answer is, Lefarish de tre mile kechashiv. The two ideas, the two distinctions mentioned, Shezet prishasa l'kedusha, dahainu l'lishchas parhejin. That's the same thing. Why do we make the Kohen Gadol go to the Lishchas Parhejin? Because that's in the Makom Kodesh. That's the whole point. Is the Kedushaso, that's the same exact difference of Lishchas Parhejin. Lishchas Parhejin is to underscore the fact that we're separating the Kohen Gadol to for Kedusha, as opposed to the Kohen Sofer Tapara, we're separating for Tara, so then we send him to the Harabayas, which is Pnei Abira, that's for a different purpose. Now, the whole in-between here, those learning the Maseches Tamar will appreciate this, because machlokas whether or not Lishchas Parhejin was really b'makom kodesh or not, it was in the base of Migdash. But since the opening was to the outside, it was actually makom chol inside. So it goes on to a whole discussion. I don't want to bore you, but I don't want to lose track too much. So, but if you jump down a few lines in Tosas here, the first line is Lekedusha, around 6-7 lines down. This is where he compares and contrasts it to Paraduma now. V'zeh Prishas Latara, he says Lishcha Shel Pnei Abira. The Korin Asar V'Tapara goes to place of Tara, which is on the face on the top of the Pnei Abira. How met this Bahar Bias? Shame of Kedusha Yosme Yushlaim. This area of Pnei Abira is no greater Kedusha than Har Bias itself. Ela Tara Yosef, but there is greater Tara. Tara and Kedusha are two different things. There's greater Tara there. Shazov Vabalkeri Vichomisha Tuma Yotsu Begufa. Any type of Tuma that comes from the body, Azov, Balkeri, and Nida, these people ain't Nichnas and Lech, can't go there. So it goes to a place that's more Tahor. So again, the Kohen Gadol goes to Lishchas Parhejin, which is more Kedusha, and the Kohen HaSorif HaTapara goes to a place where there's more Tara. So that difference of the Lishchos, it's really the same exact Chilek of Kedusha versus Prisha. That's what Tosos says. Okay, back inside the Gemara now, four lines down. The Gemara asks as follows, Maskifla, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Bishma, this all makes sense. I addressed this before. I foreshadowed this for us to make it easier, so that we sprinkle the blood, the water rather, all 7 days. So Bishma, I understand, Rishon, we sprinkled day one of Prisha, Shemesh Shlishi. Maybe this is the third day from when he became Tamei Tumas Mes. And I also understand Shani, the second day, Shemesh Shlishi, it was the third day from when he became Tamei. And Shlishi also, I get Shemesh Shlishi, it's the third day from when he became Tamei. And I also get Chamishi. Chamishi is because it's Shemesh Shvi, it's the seventh day from when he became Tamei. And Shishi, Shemesh Shvi, and Shvi, Shemesh Shvi. All days, 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6, 7, all those days, it's possible it's days 3 and day 7, those pairs. But day four, but when it comes to El Revi, Lomeli, why do you have to sprinkle on day four? Hazak Klal, any. Lobishlishi, Ikilis Fuka. It can't be the third day when it became Tameh. Because already, the Kohen was already placed in Lishchas Parhejin. He did not come into contact with Tumah from the Sunday when he separated. So by Wednesday, it can't be third day from coming into contact with the Tumah. It's impossible for him to become Tameh. And also, And then he says, Revi Lamali Hazak Klal Lo B'Shlishi Iklis Fuke V'Lo B'Shri Iklis Fuke. And it can't be day 7 because there was no day 3 beforehand. So Gemara says, okay, good question. Ulatamech, according to your Svara, Hazak Kol Shiva Mika, could you ever have a case where you need Hazak all 7 days? V'ha Kaimelan Dazah Shvus V'Eino Doches HaShabbos. The din, Hazak, sprinkling the Mechatas is a Shvus. And you can't do a Shvus on Shabbos. So you can't do this. So So what are you going to explain? So they can't ever have all 7 days. So it always has to be one day of the 7 that Shabbos, obviously. So there's one day where you can't do Hazar. So Shiva Labarmi Shabbos. So just like we say all 7 days except for Shabbos, so too, Hachanami, Shiva Labarmi Vi. So too we say all 7 days except for Wednesday. So now we're missing 2 days. So now let's just follow the Gemara, things will come together. So Amar Rava, Hilkach, therefore, Kohen Gadol, I'll say this outside first, then I think it will click. When it comes to the Kohen, Hasor for Zapara, there's no set day for him to do the preparation. So we want to do the preparation whereby Shabbos and Yom Revi work out perfectly. So the 4th day falls out on a Shabbos. So when is the separating of the Paraduma always happen? It has to always happen on a Wednesday. So Wednesday is day 1, Thursday is day 2, Friday is day 3, day 4 is Shabbos. So you skip Shabbos and Revi because Revi doesn't work and Shabbos doesn't work. And day 5 is Sunday, day 6 is Monday, day 7 is Tuesday. That's how it always works for the current service of Parah. When it comes to the Yom Kippur, you don't have that option. Because Yom Kippur depends on the day of the month. So by already, we need to separate on the 3rd of Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia. That could happen on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the Gemara says all this. The Gemara says, so when it comes to Hilchach Amarava Hilchach, therefore, Kohen Gadol, B'Yom HaKippurim, D'lo B'Didan Talyum, so it doesn't depend on our Zman. We can't decide when the Kohen Gadol separates for Yom Kippur, it depends on the calendar. And the Kfiyah D'Yircha, depending on the months in the calendar, Talia Milsa depends on that. So, B'Tzlasa B'Tishrei Bari Lafrushe, on the 3rd day of Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia is when you have to separate day 1. B'Chol Emas T'Bisrami T'Tzlasa B'Tishrei Mefarshinli, whatever day of the week is the 3rd day of Tishrei. That's what we have to do. It could be a Sunday, it could be a Monday, it could be a Tuesday. Which would happen, what would happen from that is, as Rashi points out, look at B'Chol Emas T'Bisrami Mefarshinli. The Afa Gav D'Lahavi Revi Shalob Shabbos. Even though the 4th day of separation won't happen on Shabbos necessarily, you're missing 2 days. So let's say, for example, the Tzom Gedalia is on Sunday. So he gets a Hazah on Sunday, on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday not, because Wednesday is the 4th day. 4th day we said is out. So he misses Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and he misses Shabbos. So he only does 5 days, not 7 days, because he can't do the 4th day of his week, and he can't do on Shabbos. So you're missing 2 days. So now the Farshim all ask the question, so wait a second. So if you're missing Shabbos, which is day 7 in this, according to my sequence, that means you should also skip, I guess, Wednesday also. Right, Wednesday, right? Wednesday and Shabbos. Yeah, Wednesday you should skip also. Because if you can't do the 7th day of it, you don't have to do the 3rd day. Tuesday you should skip. Right, remember. It only works if there's a 3 and 7, that couple. So Sunday goes with Thursday, Monday goes with Friday, and Tuesday goes with Shabbos. Those are the couples. Now, if you can't do on Shabbos because it's Shabbos, you shouldn't have to do Tuesday either. Because you have to have the couples work with each other. So they ask, you're right, Enechanami. When Rashi says you're missing 2 days, you're missing 2 days. In addition to Shabbos, you're missing 2 days, really. So you're really only doing 4 days a week. You're doing Sunday, Monday. You skip Tuesday because Tuesday and Shabbos match with each other. You skip Wednesday because Wednesday is really the 4th day. So you do a Sunday, Monday, and you do Thursday and Friday. It's only 4 days. So what we start with 7, we came down now to 4 days, is when the sprinkling takes place for the Kohen Gadol. But for the Kohen, HaSarif Zapara, everything works out well. Because you always start separating the day on Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you skip it's 4th day, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So the Gemara explained, let's finish the Gemara now. The Gemara says, again, V'chol emas d'misrame t'lasa b'tishrei, whenever the 3rd day of Tishrei falls out, m'farshinle, that's when you have to separate the Kohen Gadol. Ava korina sorif esapara, when it comes to paraduma, d'bididon talimus, it depends on when we want to. There's no date. When we decide to start preparing the Kohen for the para, we make sure we align it whereby the 4th day of this 7-day period is always in a Shabbos. That's how we do it. So we always separate on Wednesday, so the 4th day is a Shabbos, so we only miss 1 day, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, he ends up missing 3 days based on all those calculations. Okay, let's finish the Gemara now. Yeah. According to him, if it turns out for him, right? According to Rabbi Yossi, who did day 3 and day 7, yeah. That's a good question. Good question. I don't know. You couldn't. I couldn't imagine. You cancel everything. Good question. I have to look inside to see if they address it. Yeah, great point.
But doing yeah. 3rd and 7th, but the same thing he's doing 2 and 6 according to him. It's the same topic, right?
No, but Rabbi Yossi wants to be day 3 and 7, so you could just slide over, because according to him, it's not exactly the right time. You have to just slide it over, which Gemara doesn't address that, but Masami could do 2 and 6 or 1 and 5, 1 and 4, or something like that, 1 and 5, I guess. Yeah. So the Gemara now says, Lishchas Barhedrin, v'chule. So now we're going back to this name, Lishchas Barhedrin. What exactly is the word Lishchas Barhedrin? Why is it called Lishchas Barhedrin? So Gemara says, Tanir Bihuda, v'chi Lishchas Barhedrin Hayisa. That's what it was called. V'halo, Lishchas Bilvati Hayisa, some Greek term. Why is it called Bilvati Hayisa? So apparently this is a word that's used, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lishchas Bavate Lashem Sarim, Kach Hayisa Nikres Lishchas Sarim. It was like a chasha place with a Kohen Gadol. He's a sar. He's a very important minister. We call Lishchas Bavati. So how come then we change it to Lishchas Barhedrin? Lishchas Barhedrin is like a different appointment, you know, different, I don't know, officers of the king. A much less prestigious job. So why do we change it from a more chashiv title to a lower class? So hello, Lishchas Bavati ha'isa? El b'tchila haya koronoso Lishchas Bavati. Initially it was called Lishchas Bavati, a chashiv place of Kohen and Gadolim. That's where the Lishcha they would go and separate for 7 days. Umitoch shenosin ala mamon lakuna. Because it came to a certain time during Bai Sheni where they would pay the rights to become the Kohen Gadol, u'machlif and also koshem asar chodesh, every single year they would switch, would have a new Kohen Gadol, kvar hedjin halalu, shemachlif and osam koshem asar chodesh. It was like an officer of the king who every year was part of there was only a 1 year contract, lefika chayu koren also lishchas bar hedjin. So then we downgraded this title, lishchas bar hedjin, and we're going to see in tomorrow's daf how you know certain Kohen Gadol worked for like 40 years. And by Bai Sheni, Kohen Gadol wouldn't even make it out the whole year. He died by going to the Kodesh Kedashim because he wasn't right to be the Kohen Gadol. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Mitoch Shenosin Mamon Lakuna, they'd pay for the rights to be Kohen Gadol, Mitoch Shekoane Beish Bai Sheni. Hayu Omed in Aide Mamon Shenosin Al Kuna Gadol, the Malche Beish Chashmonai. They'd pay the Chashmonayim to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, Tosi Shalom here argues, what does that mean? The Chashmonayim were the ones who were the Kohen Gadolim. They wouldn't sell it off, apparently. He felt they were actually paid the Malchus Beis David. You paid the king. Machlokas, who would be paid off? Was it the king or was it the Kohen that were being paid off? Either way, someone's being paid off to be a Kohen Gadol. Rashi says, Machlifin also koyu beis chodesh, every 12 months they'd switch. Kolomar shirisham hayu. These Kohanim Gadolim were not fit, they were risham. Lohayu motzi and shenasan, they wouldn't make the year alive, they wouldn't pass the year. Umamidin achar tachtavin, and they have a replacement. The next guy thought he was more chashiv, he'd pay for the rights. Even there could be like 50 years in a row, the Kohen Gadol wouldn't live, and he thought he's the right one to do it. And this happened, and they were so, the kavod they wanted, the money they paid for it was ridiculous. They didn't have v'chol koin mischadesh ba, so sir, also, they destroyed the lishcha that the Kohen Gadol before made. Ubona binyan na'a min harishon, they build a nicer building for himself, shetekura al shmo, that he should be the one called on this lishcha. Each year changed the names, so the building changed, the Kohen Gadol died, and this went on for a number of years. So let's quickly recap the Gemara. We start by talking about the Machlokas of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon about the tzitz being on the mitzcho, Machlokas about the different drushes, how to darshan him. Then we discuss Machlokas tonight about the mitzvah d'chuya versus a hutra, connecting it to how often do you have to prepare a sprinkle hazah every day, all 7 days, to make sure the right bismana, which implied it was dechuya, or no, day 3 and day 7 is enough, because it's really hutra. You don't have to be so makbid. We discuss, no, really arguing about whether tefillah bismana is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, or maybe they're arguing about whether or not the hazah is connected to tefillah or not connected to tefillah. Then we discussed the difference between the Kohen Gadol separated for Kedusha and the Kohen Hasar Vatara separated for Tumah Vatara. And then we discussed, every day 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6, and 7 makes sense to sprinkle on those days. But day 4, there's no couple to day 4. There's no match to it. So really could skip 4, and you also skip Shabbos. But for Paraduma, you try to align day 4 with Shabbos. The Kohen Gadol, you can't do that. So you miss day 4, you miss Shabbos, and you miss the couple, which everyone matches up with Shabbos. And then finally, we discussed why it's called Lishchas Barhedrin, because every single 12 months, they would, every single year, they change over who the Kohen Gadol was. And we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.